Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Harris Cherokee Resort. Find us online at caesars.com/harris-cherokee.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
No one will deny that 2020 has been a weird year, so anytime we get a chance to provide you a glimpse of normalcy, we're always really thankful for the chance to be able to do that. And just a few minutes ago, here on the Dog Nation video channels, as we record this show live on a Wednesday morning, look at that. Yeah, you get to see that on your screen there. Five-star linebacker Smile Mondon committed to the G. So many of these moments over the years for Dog Nation, so many of these moments for UGA, even the fun one here with the LSU hat being pulled away, an additional Georgia hat underneath. Mondon puts that on. Huge applause all the way around there. And what has been a very weird 2020. High school football has not been immune to this. The recruiting process has been maybe more different than anything has been in the sports world over the course of these last few months. To be able to do what we've done a lot, watch Georgia get a five-star commit, provide you coverage of that here on Dog Nation. I got to tell you, a few minutes ago, that really felt really fun. So let me look back on this just for a moment, and then we will look ahead to everything going on around the rest of the University of Georgia scene as the Dogs get ready to take on Mississippi State on Saturday. So Mondon is a guy, and if you've ever read interviews with him with Jeff at DogNation.com or seen some of the video stuff that Jeff has done or maybe interacted with Mondon on a different platform, the one thing that you'll see is that he's really kind of a man of few words. This is a guy, and one of our commenters on the YouTube broadcast a little earlier said it perfectly, that he chooses his words carefully, and therefore, when he does speak up, everybody leans in close to listen. I think that's completely true, and I would say that's, you know, obvious and self-evident on the basis of the way that folks reacted to Mondon choosing Georgia a little bit earlier. But he wanted to make the moment special, it's clear. And before he put on the Georgia hat and made the Georgia announcement, he gave what I thought was really a pretty touching speech about what this moment means to him, the connection to family, the connection to faith. This stuff always really works on me. And Mondon was great in terms of how he laid it out a couple of minutes ago. So before we do anything else on him as a player, let's take a moment to appreciate him as a person, and his own words allow us to do that.
I want to start off by thanking God. I pride myself on faith, and without him, I wouldn't be the athlete I am sitting here today. I want to thank my coaches, teammates, and most importantly, I'd like to thank my family. They have done so much for me throughout my athletic career, from picking me up to dropping me off every day to practice to being the loudest at every game, win or lose. They motivate me to continue to play the game.
Those are heartfelt words. They're touching, and I think that's the dream that all of us would have for our own son, is that one day as a high school senior, he would have that same connection to family, that same connection to faith. Many of us at least feel that way. And for Mondon, that's a beautiful thing. And it's not nothing, and it's not an insignificant feat that he delivers a speech like that, knowing he's got local television coverage. There are thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people that'll see this on the Dog Nation video channels. There's a lot of folks peering in. There's a live audience of his own peers there at Paulding County High School, and Mondon absolutely nailed that speech like a valedictorian. It's really very impressive and really good stuff for a Smile Mondon. And then there was this. Maybe with a little bit of a nod towards the name, image, and likeness stuff that's on the horizon for college football, Mondon knowing that his first name, Smile, has a little bit of a play on words. There's a synonym there. It kind of goes along with a word that's pretty common for all of us. And when Dog Nation's Jeff Sintel asks, you know, Smile Mondon, what Georgia fans can expect from him, Mondon fully embracing the kind of natural play on words that comes with his name here. It's a headline writer's dream, and it's also potentially a profitable thing for Mondon sometime in the future. Take a listen to this.
Schmalman, any message out there for the fans? What can the Georgia people come to expect? What will they come to expect from you as a Georgia Bulldog?
As a Georgia Bulldog, all smiles.
What can Georgia fans expect from you? Mondon says, all smiles. You could certainly appreciate the idea of that maybe one day being his own personal logo, or, you know, some apparel, the, you know, somehow related to the smile for Smile Mondan. I think that he's already on the inside track and all that kind of stuff, and that's really good to see. This is a great one for Georgia. Mondan's a player we've talked about for quite some time, and it feels good to be finally getting a chance to hear some of the commitment pledges for some of these players that for months and months and months we've kind of dissected every little move that Mondan has made, the chatter about Auburn, the chatter about Tennessee. There were other finalists on the stage here, Florida and LSU. I don't know that anybody really took those particularly serious in this recruitment, but it's kind of nice and kind of fun to kind of be there now on decision day for Mondan. He did tell Jeff Sintel in his interview with Jeff that he was shutting things down now. This was the final moment for him. Obviously, that's not a binding referendum. You know, players can change their mind, but for now, that's the word when it comes to Smile Mondan. You will take that as good news. And when Jeff Sintel joined us a moment ago, and I want to play this for you as a way of just kind of encapsulating the full value here of what Mondan means for Georgia, its pursuit of another elite class in 2021, how it was that Georgia won this recruitment. Here are a couple of sentences worth from our buddy Jeff Sintel, the Dog Nation recruiting insider, kind of laying out exactly how all of this came together a moment ago, at least as we record this live. Here is Jeff on Mondan.
What really won this decision out was consistency. The consistency means the staff being in place, the defense being in place, the track record being in place, but also the consistent priority, we need you type communication that Georgia gave Smile Mondan Jr. Consistency was huge, and really this is a young man that everybody's got projections about how quickly he can play. I think immediately he would be a special team standout, going down the field, making a lot of tackles. He is a five-star recruit. He becomes the third five-star recruit for Georgia in this 2021 cycle. It bumps Georgia past Clemson, yep, to number five in the country overall on those 24/7 sports composite rankings, team composite rankings that everybody looks at and pays close attention to. Georgia is now in the number five slot. Definitely four or five more slots to go.
So let me wrap this up by saying this. The word that Jeff Sintel used there multiple times to describe the reason why that Mondan chose Georgia was consistency. In other words, there's unrest in the Auburn program. Who knows what the future of Gus Malzahn is? I don't expect him to get fired at the end of the season, but that's a program that's not on particularly solid footing right now. The other school that Mondan may have considered closely, Tennessee, I mean, there are rumors and reports that the Vols, Jeremy Pruitt, the head coach, fired a defensive assistant coach during a game this year. There's obviously a lot of unhappiness with the way that Tennessee's playing right now. That's an inconsistent program. Georgia, Jeff says, provided Mondan the consistency he's looking for. And that matters. And I'm not going to sugarcoat this and pretend that the Mondan news does not come at a time in which a lot of Georgia fans are just kind of down in the dumps. You lost the two biggest games you played this season. Georgia couldn't get over the hump against Alabama, and all of a sudden now it's on the radar that Georgia could even lose to a team like Florida, an unforeseen circumstance over the course of the last 3 years. And Georgia fans are just kind of in a bad mood about all of this, which I totally get. But with Mondan making his decision today, it ought to be a reminder, not to be a throwback, to what Smart said after the national championship game at the end of the 2017 season, when he said, "We're not going anywhere." I think the Smile Mondan news is a reminder of that. That yes, the 2020 this season on the field, admittedly, has not been as good a year as Georgia fans want it to be. Losses in the big games, end of season goals now are essentially a non-existent probability for the Dogs, but Georgia still isn't going anywhere. And when a guy like Smile Mondan looks in the situation in Georgia, he may see a momentary blip on the radar, a bump in the road for what 2020 was, but overall, a coaching staff that remains in place, long-term trajectory goals that are still very much on the horizon. A Georgia program is still very much a present tense conversation for a five-star linebacker. And that's not supposed to necessarily make you feel better about the games that Georgia lost this season and the continued wait for Georgia to get that championship ring, that national championship that so many UGA fans have been craving. But it is a reminder that the overall momentum for the program for Georgia does not slow down because 2020 hasn't been what it's supposed to be. And the folks who matter most are the ones who are telling you that. When a guy like Smile Mondan looks in on Georgia, he sees a place he can feel comfortable, he sees a place that he can be at home, and he sees a place that can win at the highest level. I take Mondan's words for that. And if you're a UGA fan that's been in a little bit of bad mood, it's easy to understand why. But the Mondin announcement today may be a signal that it's time to kind of start moving on and looking towards the future. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Harris Cherokee's Casino Resort. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, Apple Player, the Google Player, the world-famous DogNation.com, Spotify, anything else. Just really glad to have all of you with us, and a huge thanks to our friends at Harris Cherokee Casino Resort for making it all possible. You see it there on your screen. Beautiful two-hour drive from Atlanta, either of the two properties, the original Harris Cherokee Casino Resort or Harris Cherokee Valley River. Fun gaming opportunities, luxurious gourmet dining, wonderful shopping experiences, a luxurious spa, wonderful accommodations. As I said before, just a couple hour drive from Atlanta, easy to get to Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. They've done the work necessary as well to make the entire experience healthy and safe for you. Social distance on the gaming floor now. That's a really fun thing to know, that you can be there, have a good time, get the getaway you need while also having the peace of mind knowing you're going to be hopefully healthy and safe there as well. Harris Cherokee Casino Resort makes that all possible. By the way, if you have not yet become a member of Caesars Resort, I should say Caesars Rewards, to get the best that Harris Cherokee Casino Resort has a chance to provide for you, do that right now. Go to this website. It's Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee. Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee. That'll get you in touch with our friends at Harris Cherokee Casino Resort and stop by and see them at either their two properties, just 2 hours from Atlanta. Really fun getaway, and I know you need that right now. All right, let's move off the recruiting topic for a moment. Let's look back at the Dogs on the field, getting ready to take on Mississippi State on Saturday, with the possibility the quarterback change could be in the offering here after the injury to Stetson Bennett, and maybe just the need to give a bit of a boost to the Georgia offense. We'll follow that, and we'll see how that plays out coming up on Saturday. Let's talk more about that now around the Doghouse, delivered today by Marco's Pizza. And we're obviously openly speculating about this. The online chatter doesn't really slow down that this could be JT Daniels' moment. But let me tell you what you're not getting right now. You're not getting, and this is to be expected, of course, but you're not really getting any cooperation from Kirby Smart at all, the Georgia coach, about if it truly will be the transition to JT Daniels on Saturday. Now, he's also not necessarily quieting it down. It's sort of the dog that's not barking here, is that Smart's not saying that Daniels isn't playing. Tugwell, I guess, use a double negative in a sentence. But he's also not certainly confirming that there's some big, huge quarterback change in the making here for Saturday. So let me give you a little bit of Smart, who spoke to reporters again last night. And this will give you a little bit of a clue as to where things stand right now. First of all, on the status of JT Daniels, the door for the quarterback change was seemingly open because of Stetson Bennett. The door was open up on this because of the Bennett injury at the end of the Florida game a couple of weeks ago, and last week had Georgia played Missouri, it sort of seemed like Bennett might not be healthy enough to play in that game. How are things coming along right now? This is the update that Smart offered on Stetson Bennett last night.
Same thing with Stetson. He was out there and able to go today and do some things, and he and DeJuan and JT and Carson all got work.
So Kirby Smart keeping the cards pretty close to the vest, but it sounds like Bennett's doing a little more now than he was. But is that enough to regain the starting job for Saturday? Obviously, it remains to be seen. As far as Daniels himself, the growth that he's going through with his health, getting more mobile on the knee, maybe more ready to play now than he would have been earlier in the season, there was at least a little bit of a brief update on that from Smart last night. Let me let you hear more.
He hasn't always worked with the ones, so I don't know where you would speculate that from. But his mobility has been better.
So mobility is better. JT Daniels, the rumors have been, working with the ones in practice the last few days, and now more mobile and more ready to play. And look, it stands to, it's obviously true that Georgia fans kind of want to see this on Saturday. They want to see something new. And if you want to go back and listen to Smart from a couple of weeks ago ahead of what we thought was going to be the Missouri game, at the time, Smart at least hinted at the possibility that he was open to a quarterback change for reasons other than just an injury to Stetson Bennett. I'll say what I've said before on this. is that I want to see JT Daniels play too. I want to see something new at quarterback, given the way this position has played. Now, earlier in the year, I offered some defensive Stetson Bennett. I think that Bennett, for a time, was playing better than maybe some folks in my audience were kind of giving him credit for playing. But let's face it, Georgia's losing its biggest games. Georgia's not getting it done offensively. There's no reason not to consider every option you have available. And obviously JT Daniels will be the next guy on that list that we have not seen yet. So I'm going to Athens on Saturday in the hopes that I do see Daniels out there playing quarterback, and I guess it remains to be seen what color jersey Daniels will be wearing if he does indeed get that shot. We will talk more about the black jerseys before we're done on today's show. For now, it's Around the Doghouse. It's delivered by our friends at Marco's Pizza, America's most beloved pizza. It's real, authentic pizza made the Italian way. It tastes good, and it's great savings as well. And it's also healthy and safe for you and your family right now. It's baked in a 450-degree oven. And then after that, contactless, touchless, delivered right there to you. You can get the traditional pizza, or you can get the pizza bowl, which is all the great taste of a pizza without the crust. Just one of the really cool options that Marco's has available for you. And you also get special savings as well. You can get a large specialty pizza right now and a large two-topping pizza, and that's just $23.99. Really good stuff, either online using the Marco's app or at Marco's.com. Marco's app or Marco's.com. That's how you can get in touch with them. Enjoy our friends at Marco's Pizza as you watch some sports here heading towards the upcoming weekend. Or as I said before, well, before we are done today, we will look at the possibility that Georgia could wear the black jerseys on Saturday. We'll give you the online clues that have been out there that have led people to assume that might be a chance. And we'll let you hear Kirby Smart in his own words about the possibility that this could occur. He didn't outright shoot it down. There was at least that. So we will talk more about that here coming up in just a moment. There's also new news around the SEC. Another SEC team apparently dealing with a little bit of coronavirus. We'll touch on that. More rumblings and rumors involving the South Carolina coaching opening. We'll touch on that. So a lot to do on today's show. But for now, for the entirety of the scene in Athens, as the Dogs get ready to return home on Saturday to take on the other Bulldogs, Mississippi State, let's talk to Mike Griffith here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
We'll say hello to Mike Griffith here, who was a part of the Kirby Smart press conference both last night and on Monday as well. And the inquiring minds continue to want to know what's going to happen for Georgia quarterback on Saturday. Smart not really doing too much to help out there. But Mike, as I told our audience a moment ago, there's kind of the dog that isn't barking here. While Smart isn't coming out and saying that JT Daniels is going to play, receiving an increase in JT Daniels' questions over the course of the last few press conferences, he hasn't exactly pushed back on those very much either. So Smart's not confirming anything, but he's also not confirming something either, which is, I think, part of the reason why there seems to be a growing amount of speculation that JT truly will get his moment maybe on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, Kirby's not one to name quarterbacks. We know that. He keeps all his options open, and he doesn't want to let the other team know what he's doing. But it certainly does look like they're going in the direction of JT Daniels.
Yeah, I think so. And part of this even dates back to last week. Or I shouldn't say, I mean, it seems like they're at least open to quarterback change, but I should say. And part of this dates back to last week when Smart acknowledged the chance that they may choose to go away from Stetson Bennett for reasons other than just injury. You know, Mark Bradley, the AJC columnist, asked him a week ago if Bennett was healthy, would he have started in the game that we thought was supposed to take place against Missouri? And Smart said that was a great question. So that, to me, is maybe the strongest statement Smart's made over the course of the last couple of weeks, at least in my mind, when it comes to quarterbacks, is that the possibility exists that a change could be made for reasons other than injury. And I think that stands as a pretty important lead in to what we may eventually see on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it means everything to where the direction of the Georgia football program's going in general. I mean, if JT Daniels is the guy and he proves effective the last four games, you know, he's probably the starter next year. If he's not, then he's probably gone and on to the next. And you know, Carson Beck and Dwan Mathis, and, you know, if Vandergrift, you know, signs, which there's no indication that he won't. But I think the hopes of Georgia are that, you know, the JT Daniels turns out to be the guy, and you get at least a full year out of him next season, and he's good enough to play in the NFL like a lot of these other SEC quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think for me, and the one I've said, you know, for a while is, Mike, I want to see the Georgia quarterback situation as you move towards 2021 – become a little more sensible. I think there's been way too much quarterback drama, and I won't go back through all the list of this, but I think there's some quarterback drama for George. I think some of this may be an unforced error. And I'm ready just for that to kind of end. So I'm like you in one respect that the games that Georgia has remaining this season, we believe it'll get a chance to play four regular season games plus a bowl game. That's a chance for you to establish, of the quarterbacks on this roster, who do you potentially trust to be a starter for next season? And it stands to reason that one of those guys should be, probably head and shoulders over the others, probably will be. That's what these remaining games are about. And then next year, you can have kind of a normal classic quarterback battle between a veteran presence, somebody that's played some this year, been on campus for a little while, versus kind of a hotshot incoming freshman like Brock Vandegrift, and you can let it play out. That's almost exactly what Alabama did this offseason between Mac Jones and Bryce Young, and in that case, the veteran won out. Could be that the veteran wins out for Georgia again next year, too, in a comparison with Brock Vandegrift. But I think for right now, you've got to kind of try to decide who that veteran presence is. Is it someone like Dwan Mathis getting another shot? Is it Carson Beck finally being a year older getting a shot? Or is it JT Daniels playing the way that you would hope a former five-star who's had starting experience can play? But that, to me, is what the remainder of the season is about. Who is the guy currently on the roster in the best position to compete against Vandegrift next year? Because it can't be four guys. It needs to be two. It needs to be a guy who's been here and a guy in Vandegrift who's young but has the credentials. That, to me, is the most sensible competition for next season.
Yeah, I would think so. I'd have a hard time believing a true freshman could come in and start even an early enrollee against Carson Beck or JT Daniels, if Daniels is effective, you know, again. So, you know, Kirby wants to win football games, and he's going to make the decision on who he thinks is going to make Georgia the best the rest of the year. You know, you want Georgia to get it settled. I think, you know, 2020 is kind of taking a toll on the Dogs between the injuries and, you know, Stetson Bennett going 3-2 as the starter with some obvious limitations. You know, to me, there's an excitement factor, though, with George Pickens being back. And, you know, you think about it, you know, George Pickens was really going into this year the best offensive weapon that Georgia had. And the guy's got 13 catches, you know, for 140 yards. I mean, I might have projected he'd have that in one game at some point this season. But, you know, the inability of the quarterback to get the ball downfield and the obvious limitations of Stetson Bennett have just taken George Pickens out of the equation. And what you're hoping for is that you get a quarterback in there that can get the ball downfield, that can hit the perimeter receivers. And once you do that, B.A., once you stretch the field out again, that opens up some running lanes, opens up the possibility for more, you know, explosive plays in the run game. You know, Zamir White's truck sweep, untouched play aside, that was more about Florida's bad defense and a safety not fitting in the right hole. So a lot of good things can happen once you fix the quarterback spot. I mean, it's really the fulcrum of the offense, and it's really been the downfall of Georgia football in 2020.
Yeah, I don't deny that better running game is going to follow a better passing game. That's just the way the college football is in 2020, that you pass to set up the run, seemingly now, whereas maybe in the past you ran to set up the passing opportunity. That's just not quite what football seems to be as much anymore. I guess the one thing, though, I've tried to tell my audience, Mike, this week is, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, is I do want to temper expectations for JT Daniels. You know, there was a runaway hype train around Jamie Newman, and obviously in retrospect that seems kind of foolish. You know, after Bennett did some of the things that he did against Arkansas and, you know, against maybe even Auburn as well, there's a little bit of a hype train for him. The Tennessee game probably contributed some of that, too. That when JT Daniels first arrived here, there was hype around him. You know, that seemed unrequited for a long time because apparently he just wasn't healthy. You know, I do think that it's important to temper expectations for a guy like Daniels, who has now not played a lot of football in quite some time. I do think it's important not to expect too much from him in the early going here. Set a bar so that Daniels can maybe pleasantly surprise Georgia fans, maybe exceed those expectations, as opposed to setting the bar so high that it's almost impossible for him to meet them. I would hope that Georgia fans go into the game on Saturday with maybe a degree of tempered expectations. What are your thoughts about that?
You know, it's a slippery slope because Georgia football doesn't have tempered expectations anymore. There's a certain expectation now that this program's going to play like champions. The head coach is the one that tells us that. They recruit 5- and 4-star players like today. You know, I feel like the days of tempered expectations for Georgia football are behind us now. And, you know, JT Daniels was a 5-star. He was the number 3 quarterback in the country, only the 2nd quarterback in USC history to start as a true freshman. I have a hard time tempering that, especially when you're playing a lousy Mississippi State team. You know, if you temper your expectations, you know, there's really not much forward, look forward to the holidays. You know, I'm not going to tell my kids to temper the expectations for Santa Claus. I'm not going to tell Georgia fans to temper the expectations for a five-star quarterback that could have gone anywhere in the country when he transferred and chose Georgia. You know, the only thing that I might temper is the expectations for Kirby's play calling and willingness to throw it in the fourth quarter, you know, with a four or five touchdown lead. I think Georgia's in a place, BA, where they need to win impressively. I think Kirby, the ruthless Kirby that makes the cold-hearted decisions and wants to shut out everybody, needs to turn into the ruthless Kirby that lets his offense light up the other team like a pinball machine. The days of running out the clock in the fourth quarter are behind, because Georgia needs to make a statement that they're willing to play football like the other championship programs, whether it's Alabama or Clemson. I stop short because I don't think Florida's a championship program, and I think they're going to get exposed on December 19th. But I think that Kirby needs, and like LSU last year, right? You know, Kirby needs to show that he really is all in. He hired Todd Monken to come in and build an offense that Georgia fans would be proud of and that recruits would want to come and play for. And I dare say Todd Monken did not come to Georgia with this concept of coaching a 5'9" former walk-on that can't throw a, you know, 35-yard accurate pass downfield on a line. So this is an opportunity for Todd Monken to run his offense with a capable quarterback, with the number one receiver back involved in the game, a very capable offensive line, and a schedule that should see Georgia winning by at least four touchdowns in every remaining regular season game.
All right, so I want you to put a pin on in that, because I did want to come back to that topic, because I do think how Georgia performs in these remaining games does matter. So before we get more into that topic, let me talk to you about the jersey situation. A lot of UGA fans are curious, do we see black jerseys on Saturday? There's some social media evidence that would seem to suggest it's a possibility. Smart, much like the quarterback topic, didn't say much about this yesterday. Do you get a sense one way or another of if the new black jerseys that now have like the dog collar, you know, thing around them, do you get the sense that Georgia may be breaking those out on Saturday night?
This would seem to be the game you would do it. I mean, your last regular season, you only had four home games this year. And you've got two remaining, and one of them is Vanderbilt, who has black in their color scheme. So this would seem to be the game to do it in a night game after a two-week break with a lot of the fan base, you know, probably hurting a little bit, smarting. I mean, it's tough. Just a lot of tough breaks for Georgia. I mean, having bye weeks or open weeks after you lose to Alabama and Florida is just, it's just salt in the wound. It's just a horrible vinegar in an open wound. It's a horrible feeling to have to chew on a Florida loss for 2 weeks, especially as inept as the quarterback play was. And really over the last three games, I mean, my goodness, 44 completion percentage, 8 interceptions, 4 fumbles at that quarterback position. There's no getting around it. It's been historically bad. I don't know if there's been a worse three-game stretch for Georgia quarterbacks. Someone out there may be able to research and find a stretch with 8 interceptions and 4 fumbles over 3 games. I certainly can't find it recently. So you want to recapture some of the excitement. You know, now's the time for Kirby to play every card he's got. Like I said, score every point that's available and do everything he can to get that momentum back, because Georgia football had a lot of momentum, as you know, BA, as I know, a lot of energy. And right now, it's just not the same. And we're going to find that out in the early signing period with how they close. And in February, and you've got to get more offensive guys to Georgia, right? You need another running back. You need, you know, potentially maybe a second quarterback. Who knows? You need more receiver prospects, more tight end prospects. The offense needs more skill position influx. So I think it's very important that he needs to get as much energy generated as possible over these last four games by any means necessary.
All right, so let's talk about that, because I've talked about that a lot this week, that if you look at what Florida did at the end of last season, you know, lost to Georgia, yet really went on a streak where they started beating teams badly. And that had not always been the way under Dan Mullen. For a while in the early stages, they played some SEC games and some Power 5 games, probably a little closer than they were necessarily supposed to be. But after the Georgia game last year, that kind of stopped. And for the most part, that carried over into the start of this year. I would say that Florida's dominance of lesser SEC opponents were a predictor for the offensive explosion the Gators, for the most part, have experienced this year. I think the same thing could be true for Georgia, but Mike, I want to be very clear about this. Based on the way that Georgia has played recently against supposedly overmatched SEC opponents, I'm just not sure how capable Georgia is of that. You know, a moment ago you referenced the idea that Smart doesn't want to keep his foot on the gas offensively, and maybe that's true. Obviously, I have no way of knowing. But I think a lot of this has just been a lack of ability to go out there and just totally throttle SEC teams. You know, Georgia played Kentucky a couple weeks ago in a relatively close game, 14-3. You know, I don't know that Georgia was capable of beating Kentucky worse than that in that spot. Last year, as a 24-point favorite, Georgia lost to South Carolina. I'm not really quite sure they were, you know, they had the offensive firepower to make that game any different than it was. A&M last year was closer than it was supposed to be in the month of November. There have just been some games lately against the better teams where the Georgia offense just hasn't been good enough to build the cushion, build the difference in the game. And so I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that even though all of the remaining games for Georgia this season seem like comfortable point spreads and should be easy wins, I'm not so sure that Georgia's explosive enough offensively to make them easy wins. I'm curious to find out if I'm wrong about that, but I don't go into Saturday's game saying I know I'm going to see 35, 40 points from Georgia, the kind of thing that allows you to win a game like this by 25 points. I just don't know that Georgia's got the firepower to do that right now.
Yeah, you know, Kirby made a reference after the Alabama game. You know, I don't think he was happy with the pass-run balance ratio. I think it was almost two to one pass to run, and he said we got to get back to playing our style of football. And it was a reference to a more balanced approach, and it led to that 14-3 win over Kentucky. I don't think there were 14 passes thrown in that game, and two of them were interceptions by Stetson Bennett. You know, that was before the shoulder injury. So, you know, I think that his thought process at that time was they were still in control in their destiny and that was going to be the formula to win games, you know, was a balanced offense, protecting the defense somewhat. Because you see what happens when you go 3-and-out. I mean, that's what led to Florida's offense in the first half. It was as much Georgia's horrible offense and going 3-and-out on 4 out of 5 series. You mentioned the South Carolina. They had almost 500 yards totally offense against South Carolina. 3 turnovers and 2 missed field goals that undid them in that game. Plenty of offense, but bad turnovers and bad execution. So they've proven capable. It just, you know, Kirby gets more uncomfortable when there's more passes thrown. And, you know, you can be an explosive offense and still be good at running. I mean, look at Ole Miss's running game. Everybody thinks it's just pass. It's not. Take a look at Ole Miss. They're among the league leaders in the run game. So there's a way to do it. But I think where Georgia is right now, I think you've got to get your pass game involved and you've got to change the way defenses are playing you. I think we saw in the opener against Arkansas that Georgia wasn't afraid to pile on points there in the second half once they got the momentum going. Same thing against Tennessee in the second half of that game. So I think the potential is there for it. But to your point, I think there's probably still a little bit of caution knowing that, you know, that Kirby's way in the past. And let's be clear, his way in the past has worked pretty well, I might add. You know, if they play a little bit more defense against Alabama and Brenton Cox doesn't blow contain, you know, maybe we're talking about the 2018 SEC champions here if Brenton Cox, you know, doesn't mess up on his assignments in that game. But, you know, this defense right now, I don't think that defense is there with all the injuries, Jordan Davis, Richard LeCown, Monty Rice being a step off with that foot. I don't think this defense is where it's been. So, I do think we'll see a bit of an offensive explosion. I can't tell you what the play call is going to be halfway through the fourth quarter when they're up by 21 or 28 points. But I do think Kirby needs to be mindful that recruits are watching and critics right now are taking their shots at Kirby Smart and his ability to build a championship program.
Yeah, I said this on the games this past weekend. It was interesting to me that the two teams that play kind of a fun style, Ole Miss against South Carolina, pulled away in that game late. Florida against Arkansas continued to pull away with explosive offense throughout the game, whereas the team that kind of eats its vegetables, Kentucky defense running game, they allowed Vanderbilt to get closer to them as that game went along. I do think fun football is a path to victory in 2020, and I guess my point, Mike, and I'll give you the last word on this, is that I hope to see it. Even against what we think is overmatched teams, Mississippi State and the rest of the way against South Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt, teams like that, if we do see it, I won't take it as nothing. I'll take it as a sign of improvement, the fact that Georgia's capable of beating up these overmatched SEC teams because, you know, last year Georgia was struggling to score even 20 points in some of these games. If Georgia can comfortably coast against the rest of its schedule, I'll take that as a pretty good sign for 2021.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, also take it as a good sign that the players aren't opting out. Right? You know, you see what happens at South Carolina, and
you know, guys quitting on their teammates, you know, and everybody over there getting all, you know, hey, don't say that. You don't know this. Listen, I know this. You know, those players are on scholarship, and you at least finish your regular season, man. You know, schools don't pull academic scholarships when players get injured. To me, there's kind of an unwritten contract that you're going to play through the regular season. If not for yourself, you've got other teammates out there, and now they're going to be affected, that, you know, to win their games, and their legacy is going to be affected for those seniors that try and finish. So very refreshing to see Richard LeCount last night say he's going to try and finish the year. Justin Schaefer, you know, echoing that on Twitter, and the Georgia guys saying that, yes, they are bought into this program. And to me, that's a healthy sign. When players start opting out and quitting on their teammates and quitting on their program with games remaining in the season, that's a red flag that the coach has lost the locker room. And unfortunately, I think we're going to see more of it around the SEC before the end of the year. I think South Carolina is just, you know, maybe the tip of the iceberg in that respect. But the good news is that the Georgia players are still bought into one another and still bought into their head coach. And above all else, to me, that's the most important thing is we finish 2020, is to kind of stay bought in, you know, right? And it's kind of like all of us and how we're all kind of being careful amid these COVID times. We're all sick of it, but we got to stay bought in and stay safe through the holidays, through Christmas, wait for the vaccination. And that's where Kirby's at, you know, everybody trying to stay bought in, get through this difficult season until you can get to February signing day and set your sights on a championship in 2021.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be an interesting path to see how it is traveled by Georgia over the course of the next couple of months. Mike, we appreciate you being here to talk about that here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. I look forward to reading you at DogNation.com and then talking to you again very soon.
Appreciate it, B.A.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, you know, Mike, in a lot of ways, just has a little bit different way of looking at this stuff and some of the things that he says, maybe a little bit different than the way I would say it. Dog Nation's kind of a big tent. There's, I guess, room to talk about these things in a somewhat different way. And so it's interesting to hear his perspective on that. I mean, I think the one thing that I try to have appreciation for is that the challenge of building Georgia up to where it needs to be for 2021 is certainly a possibility, but it's not a birthright. And it's not as simple to say, well, if it wasn't for bye weeks and if it wasn't for injuries, if it wasn't for that, then Georgia would be exactly the way it was supposed to be. That's letting Georgia, I believe, off the hook too much for its own responsibility in some of this kind of stuff. You know, I'm not going to excuse make about anything. The task of building up Georgia offensively to be as high-powered as Florida was two Saturdays ago, as Alabama was a couple Saturdays before that, as LSU was in last year's SEC championship game, and kind of on and on you go, you know, that's hard work. And it's not as simple as saying, well, hey, you just need one lucky break and everything kind of falls into place. No, that's not true. It's also not true to say that it's not going to happen. But this is real challenging work that the Georgia program is going to undertake here. And Mississippi State has been awful. But frankly, you know, Georgia has not exactly dominated awful teams when you talk about Power 5 level, SEC level opponents, maybe necessarily as much as they should. So Saturday is another data point in trying to determine just how far away Georgia is from the championship standard. You know, go out and beat Mississippi State by 30-plus points. Go out there and make them feel like they have no chance from the word go, then I'll take that to mean something. I'll take that as a sign that, hey, maybe this evolution is taking place. And by the way, if JT Daniels plays and contributes to that, all the more reason to feel better about, you know, the future. But these remaining games for Georgia the rest of the season, they do matter in terms of that. So I'm looking forward to seeing how all that plays out. SEC Through coming up. I want to go through a lot of the stories around the league. Before we get ready to do that, let me give you a reminder about my friends at the Technical College System of Georgia. I'm a huge fan of what they do for a simple reason, because for a lot of traditional four-year schools, when you go to them, you're saddled with debt, and then you're left to wonder, well, once I get my degree, what are the job prospects for me after doing that? With the Technical College System of Georgia, that's never going to be the case. They're going to set you up to succeed, be on your way to a rewarding career. You can be that person with no student loans in a career that you all love. It takes, in many cases, just 2 years or less to be a part of a lucrative field and doing some great things in that field because of what you learn as a part of the schools that make up a Technical College System of Georgia. Tuition is affordable. Their career placement rate's like 99%. It's more than, so it's an unbelievable opportunity. If you want to find out more about this, how you can be on the way to a rewarding career, or that person in your life, you know, son, daughter, whomever else, that you want to put them on the path towards success, go to SucceedSooner.com. That's SucceedSooner.com. There are big, big class opportunities starting up as we head towards the spring. So go ahead and be looking at some of that. SucceedSooner.com for a whole lot more. You can start applying today for those spring classes with the Technical College System of Georgia. Get a rewarding career, no student debt, big time opportunity to succeed when you go to SucceedSooner.com. All right, let's fly through our SEC. See through here for just a moment. I think it's kind of interesting to see some of the social media clues that are out there as far as the next South Carolina job. I saw where Gunnar Stockton, the 2022 quarterback commit, has now followed Billy Napier on Twitter. Napier's the coach of the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. He is less famous than a guy like Hugh Freeze, who we've talked about a lot, but there's no doubt Raging Cajuns ranked the top 25. They've been good now for a couple of years. There's no doubt that Napier's a coach on the rise. He's been places like Alabama. You know, he's been at the big programs. He's had a history as a recruiter. He's made Louisiana into a legitimate football team. Louisiana Lafayette, we used to call him. He's made them into a legitimate football team, so he's going to have his choice for some big-time jobs, and it is kind of thought that he's in the mix for the South Carolina situation as well. You can also check the betting markets on some of this kind of stuff. Napier is the current favorite at 3-1 to get the job. This stuff, frankly, sometimes matters, sometimes doesn't. I don't view betting odds on coaching hires to be particularly predictive, but Napier is the favorite. Hugh Freeze just after that 4-1. You've got Shane Beamer, the former Georgia assistant, now at Oklahoma, at 5-1 to get that job. And then you start talking about, you know, Jimmy Chadwell, the Coastal Carolina coach, Luke Fickell, the Cincinnati coach. I would imagine Fickell's probably going to hold out for a Big Ten job. Tony Elliott, the Clemson offensive coordinator, he's at 7.5-1. Scott Satterfield, the Louisville coach, on this list at 8-1. Brent Venables, we talked about before, the Clemson defensive coordinator, he's at 5-1, or I should say 10-1, to get the job. So that's the list that's out there as South Carolina looks to make its coaching hire. And we will see if making a firing first gives South Carolina a chance to also have first pick of the available coaches that are out there, because their other jobs are going to probably come open. Carolina getting a chance to go first, or they get a chance to benefit from being first on that. Speaking of the South Carolina Gamecocks, as Mike mentioned a moment ago, they are down now their two top defensive backs, J.C. Horn, who really had a good career in Columbia, and Israel Mukwamu, who had the three interceptions against Georgia a year ago. Both these guys have now opted out on the remainder of the season. Now that Will Muschamp is gone as South Carolina coach, that's been controversial. Some Gamecocks fans haven't been happy about that. Mike has obviously had his say on that. But one of the things that the Gamecocks had done well for the most part was, you know, have some success in the secondary, although their pass defense had become pretty porous over the last couple of weeks. But the two top guys there will kind of move on now and get ready for the NFL. But as Kirby Smart said when he spoke to reporters yesterday, you know, what are you opting out for right now? There's no guarantee there's going to be pro days. There's no guarantee there's going to be, you know, opportunities to showcase yourself as a draft prospect. If you want to move up draft boards, the best way to do that might be on the football field right now, but that's not what they're going to do. Both Horn and Mukwamu moving on for now. Arkansas has got a couple of issues with the coronavirus. I think most of this is kind of off-field coaches that's not expected to impact their game against LSU on Saturday. We already have the one postponement, Texas A&M, for the second consecutive week against Ole Miss. There is a little bit of this, though, going on in Arkansas right now. Sam Pittman, of course, had coronavirus last week. Now a couple of other staffers have it. But for now, according to The Advocate and other outlets, Arkansas LSU is still on. The deadline for rescheduling a different game obviously came and went on Monday night, so the SEC trying to make its schedules a little bit more nimble, but we're beyond the window for that right now, and we'll continue to cross our fingers and hold our breath that these games stay on track. This is around the time a week ago that some of this kind of stuff started falling apart, so keep that in mind. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, let me give my attention now back fully to George, and I talked about this with Mike Griffith a couple of minutes ago, the possibility that Georgia might wear its black jerseys on Saturday. I've got my black pullover on today, Dog Nation style, maybe in solidarity with the team. The reason why this is even a thing right now is, first of all, I think some fans were anticipating one of these final home games might provide that opportunity. And there was also the video that got passed around on social media. I think we have a short clip of this that we can show you here for those of you watching on video. Some folks working on the black jerseys, adding a patch to those. Those are the new real black jerseys with the dog face logo on the shoulder, the dog collar going around the neck. apparently getting those ready. The video would seem to indicate, this is Community Athens on Instagram, apparently getting those ready to maybe be worn on Saturday. So that is out there. A lot of folks were kind of left to wonder on that. Kirby Smart was asked directly about the possibility of the alternate uniforms when he spoke to reporters yesterday. Smart keeping his cards, once again, pretty close to the vest in all this. Take a listen to this.
Uniform changes for this weekend?
We're not sure yet. We've contemplated some of that, but we're not completely committed to it yet. We want to wait and see on a couple things with our leadership and some of our other senior groups.
I have evolved on this. I used to be totally against the alternate uniforms, partially because of the conversation they generated. I've kind of softened my stance on that just a bit. You know, if fans want them, it seems like they do. Players want them, it seems like they do. Then Georgia should just go ahead and give people what they want, even if I'm a little bit more of a traditionalist. Here's what I do hope happens, though. If Georgia does wear these this Saturday, I hope it's not treated as a blackout. First of all, their stadium's not going to be full anyway. You can't really do, you know, blackout with 20,000 fans in the stands. But, you know, I've said before, I'm in favor of black jerseys as a fashion statement. I don't love them as a motivational ploy. I hope it's not one of those things that Georgia surprises people by wearing the black. I guess there's a possibility they could even do a different uniform combination, bring back the red pants and wear those with the black jerseys or something like that. That's getting a little too crazy for me. But once again, I'm also kind of an old man when it comes to some of this stuff related to tradition. But either way, I just hope Georgia announces it, you know, send out the tweet, show the uniform combination off, don't leave any room for mystery or anything like that, because that's kind of a bad memory for a lot of Georgia fans. So hopefully that will be the case as we head towards Saturday. Break them out. I think it'd be fun in an otherwise kind of meaningless game. Why not show off kind of a cool uniform, the black jerseys under the lights with the, you know, the flashing LEDs? That'd probably look pretty cool anyway. So I don't mind Georgia bringing them out. Hopefully, though, they don't try to make it a surprise. Hopefully, they don't try to make it a grand reveal, because I think that's making more of it than it possibly should. And I think stuff like that is the reason that Kirby Smart hasn't worn them in, really, I guess, since 2016. It's the extra drama that goes along with the uniforms that I believe Smart himself finds distasteful. All right, so as we wrap up here, I want to mention this. Really great tweet last night from Georgia safety Richard LeCount regarding rumors that maybe he's played his last game for Georgia. Now, LeCount's dealing with a pretty serious injury going back to the motorcycle accident that he had. But what LeCount says is two things I want to address. No, I'm not opting out the season. I will finish my career as a Bulldog on that field with my brothers. And he says that hunger inside of me has only grown bigger. Now, that's great to hear. As I said before, the health status of LeCount is still something I'm not quite so sure about. My understanding is he had a pretty significant motorcycle accident, so I'm not sure how healthy he is. But the fact that he wants to play does matter to me. And all of this is a signal. The Mondin commitment earlier, the LeCount reaffirmation of his Georgia status in the tweet last night, this is still a program on firm footing. The 2020 goals may not quite come together the way you want them to, but the program trajectory overall is still pointing upward. And we'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort.